Oh, everyone, I think we're back. We're back. We're live. We're live. Every time, every Thursday. Well, hang on a minute. Nope, we're alive on other days as well as Thursdays, by the way, at lunchtimes. But yes, we are here going live with the HR Man Show, which is available to you every Thursday at lunchtime at 12 o'clock. Coming in you to help you get the people in your business right. And why do we do that? And we do that because we want to help all businesses, bold, triply underline, all businesses, to get the people in their business right and to build environments that their people want to belong to. God damn it. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us here. We've got a big show. It's going to get this sticker up right now. So we've got a show that's looking at how to deal with difficult people in your business. And I will go so far as to say that every business that we talk to, that become clients, or that we do project work for, they all have difficult people in their teams. All of you do, bar none. And these will be the biggest issues, the biggest and most complicated issues that you're going to have to tackle right now. Thank you so much for all of you that are coming in and watching us live. Hello. Thank you to you beautiful people. For all of you that are watching us back, thank you so much for coming and watching us wherever you get your videos from on social media. I screwed that one up. Sorry. But wherever, it's the beauty of live. Yes. But wherever you go and watch your videos, i.e. YouTube, thank you for coming back and watching us. Or if you're watching this back on a social media channel such as LinkedIn, thank you very much for your support. If actually watching this in this particular way and sitting in front of a laptop or your mobile is not ideal for you, yet you feel this is an important aspect to you, you can equally get this on our HR Man podcast, available from wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the HR Man. We are there. It is I, hello, that is there waiting to help and support you and your businesses. Thank you so much. Just out of courtesy again, this is, I think, our second show with the surroundings, so our new studio. If you do hear any sounds over from the right-hand corner, that is, bizarrely enough, that is my dog who's just chosen right now. She's saying, it's lunchtime. I know it's lunchtime. I'm going to eat my lunch. And that's exactly what she's doing. So apologies in advance if you hear that in the background. But, however, thank you so much for being here. And we're blessed to have you here. And certainly for us, we're looking to grow. We're looking to grow our channel. We're looking to grow our network. We're looking to grow the support that we can give. So what I would say, the very first thing I want to put out there, I don't want to wait until the middle of the program to do this. I want to get out of the way straight away. Look, to help us to give you much as much support as we can on the areas that you need the most support on, wherever you're watching this, leave us a comment. Trust me. It adds value to me. I will see it. Personally, I will see that. And I will respond. But if there are any areas that are really pertinent to you in your business right now that you would like some help and support with, that you think having a live session will really help you to do that, let us know. We're always looking for topics. And guess what? I'm likely to bloody do it. Thank you very much. And equally, I am more than welcome to have any guests. Yes, I said guests. If you're willing to come onto our show, the HR Man Show, live and put forward your particular case and situation you have right now and would like some help and support with that, then please let us know. I know that's not for everyone when it comes to HR support, but please come ahead and let us know. We would love to be able to facilitate that with you too. So where were we? So yes, how to deal with difficult people in your business. Man, I mean, this one comes up every time. Every time. We call it wrong person, wrong role, wrong business. By the way, you could have wrong person, wrong role, wrong person, wrong business. Well, I realized what I was doing there. Sorry, but you could. I'm not swearing at anyone, promise you. But if I am, you know who you are. No, I'm only joking. So in terms of things, oh, Jesus Christ, we all have this. All of us have this particular situation that happens in our businesses from time to time, continuously, whatever the case may be, but it's there, it's been there. But what I will say is whatever changes you're looking to bring into your business, whether it's staff related, product related, I don't know, location related, whatever the case may be, I will guarantee you that these people will be obstacles in that particular process. All the time, 100%. So the question therefore then is, how do we then, for God's sake, Mike, manage these people? How do we deal with a difficult person? Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to quantify what is a difficult person. I'm just putting it out there. Put it in the comments below if you've got experience with this. But what is a difficult person to you in your business? Is it someone that just is, you know, obstructive? Someone that doesn't want to make change, doesn't want to do things? A person has a particular viewpoint on the organization and thinks that it's always out there to get people? Is it someone that performs a sense of politics within your business? What is the kind of person that we're talking about here? What is a difficult person? So, I mean, for me, it could be all of those things. A difficult person could be all of those things. But fundamentally, a difficult person in your business is someone that is causing a lot of time to be spent out on them, that is actually in some way either subversive or openly challenging or making the process of being able to do the right things in your business more difficult and challenging. Does that make sense? So someone that they might be doing it deliberately or they may be doing it unintentionally and it's just who they are, but they are an obstacle that is anchoring you to a point that you want to move away from. That person is a difficult person. And sometimes difficult people can be challenging when you're trying to do these things. Certainly performance management will be littered with difficult people. And sometimes they're just obscure and they just come up with lots of different challenges and reasons why things can't be done. Don't have any solutions, but only come with the problems. That is your difficult people. And that's who I want to look at really today, realistically, because these are the people that are going to be swallowing your time. These are the people that are going to be taking you out of your job, out of the business, out of the focus, onto something completely benign that you really don't have time to be able to focus on and takes you away from doing what you need to be done and stops and prevents things from moving forward in an orderly fashion. These people are the people we need to deal with. Now, I wanted to do this. One of the things I was thinking about with today's show was that I could either bring up a load of different slides and different bits and pieces to say, hey, this is why, you know, you need to think about this, and you think about that, and you think about that. But I thought, I want to do more of a kind of example kind of process. I think for me, I'm one of those people that, gets the visualization of a situation or a scenario, and I can see how it may not be identical, but pockets of it can relate back to me and what I can do. So I think the first thing I want to talk about is realistically confronting confrontation. So the biggest thing and the biggest difficulty with dealing with difficult people is just not dealing with it. Doing nothing is an option. It absolutely is an option. And so many managers, employers up and down the country choose this option every single freaking time. And it's so frustrating. Because the biggest problem you have is this person is difficult. Having this particular conversation with them is going to be awkward. Telling them this particular piece of information is going to be a challenge, and I know it. It's a conversation that I would rather not have and would rather avoid at every single cost than to sit down with this person and talk about this. And a lot of managers choose to do exactly that. And we call it confronting confrontation. Because I've got to be honest with you, by the way, here's the other flip side to this. If you like confrontation, if you enjoy having those particular meetings, then you are freaking insane. Because nobody in their right mind likes to have a confrontational conversation with anybody. You just don't. Nobody looks forward for that, to have that added confrontation. You don't, if you had an option not to have it, you probably would choose not to. And a lot of people get, you know, misapprehension that you do have a choice in this particular case, which you do to an extent. It's just the wrong bloody one. Now, for me, ultimately, if you are finding that you have a situation where you have a difficult person, whether it's performance, redundancy. Perhaps you've got a difficult conversation to deliver a difficult message. Not necessarily the bad performing, not necessarily redundancy or conduct, but it's a difficult message you've got to talk about. You're not at that stage yet of a more formal stage, and you don't really want to have it. A lot of people will try to avoid it. And you get this human-sized lump under the rug that everybody has to walk around or trip up over. I mean, the classic one is, and I'm going to throw the NHS under the bus here for a minute. So apologies, anybody that works in the NHS. But having worked in the NHS in multiple trusts, in multiple elements of the of HR, of the NHS, from primary healthcare to foundation trusts to CCGs to CSUs, this is another great one that I've seen quite a lot of times, which is, again, it's in the NHS, but you create a role like a band C or something along those sort of lines, which is in the NHS is quite a high paying role, by the way. And you create this role and you stick this person into it and you leave them there because they're less impacted. They're basically just pencil writing, kind of administrative, high paid, waste of space that you could really do without within the organization. But you stuck them there because I don't have to have this conversation with them. And in actual fact, they're less impacted. Or the other great one is that this happens a lot as well. Managers left the team. So before the new person comes in, all the other managers go, I've got a great opportunity here. This person who's a piece of shit in my role, I'm going to move them into their team. And this person comes in, they get a misfits team, a team of multiple misfits that don't fit anywhere else in the business, have strategic problems with them throughout, performance issues, conduct, you name it, all there in one little team for the new person to come and manage. Thank you very much. Welcome on board. This is what you have left to handle. Thank you. And that happens all the time. And the reason that happens is because people don't want to deal with the problem. So the first thing about dealing with difficult people is, point blunt and honestly, is dealing with the difficult people. Actually fessing up, sitting down, and having that conversation with human beings and addressing the issues. Confronting the confrontation. That's the key element to start off with. And like I said, you know, I want to draw this out rather than do a bullet point list or little slide decks that come across at the bottom. I want to give kind of case examples. And this is the perfect one that happens a lot of the time, which is people tend not to address the issue. And it's important that you do. And the reason that it's important that you do is because you've got to imagine, if I have somebody who has a significantly high performance issue, conduct issue, let's take a case example. If I've got somebody who isn't turning up to work on time, they're consistently not just late, but they're due in at 8 o'clock and they're actually turning up at 10:30. If I have that person in my business at the moment in time, and I'm accepting that, I'm accepting a low level of standards for everybody else. You've got to imagine this. If I do that for one, I'm saying that's an acceptable standard for everybody. Okay. Now, what tends to happen is, especially when we get involved, this has happened a number of times. And the manager has now just had enough. They're pit sick of it. They've had it up to here, God damn it. And this person's always constantly late. They don't phone in sick. They don't phone in to say they're late. They just turn up late. And they seem to think, for some reason or another, that we operate flexi time. And I've never told them about flexi time. We don't operate a flexi time, but they seem to think there is one. And now the rest of my staff are looking at it and they think that potentially we operate flexi time. We've got to get this person to go. That's an actual conversation that I've had. And the problem is that lateness issue, that complexity around the person thinking or evolving into a thought process that flexi time existed that no one discussed with them about and that they think they can utilize, that hasn't happened overnight. This shit didn't just suddenly drop and the managers phoned me up. No, this shit's been there for months, but the manager hasn't wanted to deal with it because they didn't want the confrontation. So they've not dealt with it effectively. They've had the odd conversation, yes. Absolutely. It's not like they've not said any word about it whatsoever. Yes, they've had conversations about it, but it's been very light, light touch, no teeth. There's been no outcome, no complications with this process for this particular person. And that's a big issue because, it, like I said, it sets those standards, not just for that person, but for other team members. You've moved the boundaries of what is acceptable. Even though you didn't want to, you've accepted it. Or because it's difficult and awkward to have that conversation with that person. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't have them. Now here we are, and we're having this conversation, and you can't manage retrospectively. You can't go back in time and repeat your time again and do it differently. You are where you are now. You want the person to be gone, dusted, and out. However, it may not be that straightforward for you at the moment in time because you've not done anything else. You're starting from ground zero. You're starting from ground zero on this position. Can't speak. You're starting from ground zero on this position. That's where you're starting from right now. You're at the informal freaking stage, not the formal stages. It's certainly not dismissal stages, perhaps, maybe. Although you could also equally be, potentially, depending on the scenario. But you're starting at the beginning. No, it makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, it's a stupid statement to say, but you've got to start at the beginning, not at the end. But a lot of managers wait until the end and want to start there and avoid all of the work and the hassle that happens before. But it doesn't work that way. So you've got to start. You've got to make progress. And you've got to set standards in your teams. And you've got to stick to those boundaries and those standards. When someone starts to fall outside of that, you need to tell them that's outside and bring them back in. Is it acceptable behavior? Is it acceptable performance? Is that acceptable conduct? Should you be doing that? Should you be talking to your colleagues in that particular way? Should you be talking to me like that in public meetings? All those things that come up. If you accept that to happen, you have set those low-level standards and you're on a downward trajectory with those.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast at the moment in time. I just want to take a brief second, if you're okay with that, from your time in this podcast, just really, really quickly, because we have a great offer to get a free, a free contract and employment template for you and your business. To get your hands onto a free copy of that, just go across to inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. That's inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. Fill in your details on there and you'll be able to get your access to the free employment contract template you can start using for your staff with the safety, with the security. You know that the contract that you're using now today for your teams, for your business, for your new staff is legally compliant with what you need to have. Remember, you have to give these contracts by law to people on the day or by the day they start. You don't have grace periods anymore. So having these templates in place, I can't tell you how much it takes away so much hassle from you and your business in making sure you've got these things in place for when your new starters are starting work for you. Go ahead, get your copy now. Let's get back to the podcast. Have a great time, everyone.
So the first step in managing difficult people and dealing with difficult people is to actually freaking deal with them. Confront the confrontation. The second part that I want to talk about in terms of dealing with difficult people, and another example that I want to go through here is your methodology as to how you actually deal with it. So many times we've got, at the moment in time, sorry if you're watching this back, you know who you are. One of our clients at the moment, and I'm going to use them throughout this, by the way. God bless them. But they are a wonderful organization in what they do. I mean, they just are. They do an awful lot for their staff. And when they start doing stuff for their staff, they adopt the same philosophy of what they do for the people they support as a charity. And they adopt the similar mentality internally. And one of the things I always say to people is, look, when you're using HR support services such as ourselves, HR and the law is the same across the UK, right? With the exceptions of, you know, Scotland and Northern Ireland, but we're the same. Okay, pretty much. So, you know, doesn't matter what sector you're in, it's still the same. It doesn't change. It's the method and how it's adopted internally in your organization that is unique and different. And there is no one size fits all. You've got to manage true to the style of who you are as an organization. You've got to be true to your values and the vision that you're striving for. And this organization certainly is that. I mean, they've got a great ethos of what they do and support they put in place for their staff. And they start from a level of support, which, by the way, we all should be starting from a level of support in the first instance for staff. But they start from that primarily. And I'll go into this in a minute, because I'm going to use it throughout. But when they're dealing with it, they could have three or four or five different managers. And each one of them, their biggest hang-up that they get in their head, they're kind of too much in their own mind in this kind of focus of things. They keep considering, they're overthinking and overcomplicating it in terms of, but Jeff in that team would deal with it differently to Jane in that team. They would both deal with the same situation in a different way. And the answer to that is they wouldn't deal with it in necessarily a different way. They'd have a unique and different style to dealing with it, is what they actually mean. So they're wording it in the wrong way straight away. They have a set policies and procedures as to how they manage their staff. They would all follow the same thing, 100%. But the way in which they deliver it, the way in which they deal with that individual, will potentially differ from person to person. And one of the things that we talk about, and I'm going to touch on this now, is two things. One is the management triangle, and the other one is management styles. So your management triangle is, I need to either think that not every single person, you've got to play the game that's in front of you. Not every single individual in front of you is going to be the same. We're all individuals, right? So each individual will need to be managed in a way cognizant for who they are and how they work. You as a manager have got to figure that out. You've got to figure out through your experiences, one-to-ones and meetings with this person, as to what type of person this person is and how I can best deliver this message. So the best way I would say this is, I'm bringing up the rugby kind of issues here, coming back into sports mentality. But Eddie Jones, when he was the coach of England, would say he'd adopt two particular styles, which is the lovey-dovey side, which is what we would call the fluffy stuff. So the strokey-strokey, how do you feel? Are you okay? And everything else kind of thing. And other people, he knew he could adopt a tough love, because they would respond better to the tough love than they would do to the fluffy stuff. So he would adopt his styles in that particular way. And certainly within business, there'll be more kind of breakdowns than just the fluffy and the tough love people. But there are people that will respond better to one way than they will to another. You will have multiple people with multiple personalities. Makes sense, right, within your teams. Unless you're employing or you're managing just one person, you're going to have different personalities. So you can't adopt one style and approach. And that's where we come to the management triangle and what we call being a management chameleon. You can adopt multiple styles within that framework. You can either be the manager, you can be the leader, or you can be the coach within that particular triangle of where you're looking to go. And you need to assess the situation, the concern, and the person that's in front of you to know where I need to be and what's the best fit for the situation. There's some people going in and being the management kind of robotic, you know, more autocratic kind of approach just won't work straight away from the off with those people. Some people actually just need some coaching. They need some help and support. They need an arm around the shoulder to show them what they need to do that's different and how to do it. Other people need to be inspired. Other people just feel, and I see this a lot, I've been one of these people. By the way, I feel like I'm criticizing people. I've been one of these where I just feel I'm coming in and doing the 9 to 5. It's a routine and I hate my life. I hate doing it. I don't want to be here anymore. So what is the purpose to everything? And some of those people need some inspiration. They need some leadership. Sometimes, by the way, coming back on me, needed some management. And I did. I did in that situation. But it happens. And you need to adapt your approach to those people when you're dealing with it. The worst case scenario in terms of management styles is you adopt what we term the management zombie, which is this organization getting themselves, they're getting in their own way on this and overthinking it and overcomplicating it. And that is where you adopt some kind of outworldly alternative persona to yourself, another personality that isn't truly who you are to manage these people. Typical people that do this will be the ones that go, I'm in work, I deal with these people. I don't value their relationships. I don't value them in that way, shape, or form. I come in outside of here, I want nothing to do with them. So it's just literally all about the business. It's all about the role. It's all about the work. Past that, got no idea. I've got no want to have any kind of involvement in anything. I don't want to know about their lives outside of work. I want to know nothing. In fact, the less I know, the better. And I'm going to not be me. I'm going to feel like I've got to come in and I've got to go from being Mike to being alternative Mike, who's going to be this manager and strict bastard of a person that people don't like, but it's okay. They're not liking management Mike. They're not liking the real me. The real me is lovely and, you know, and we all get along with me. But management Mike is an asshole, and they're not going to like me. They're going to do what I want them to do because I'm going to manage through fear because that works and I get an uptake straight away, but not in the long term, don't. But that's kind of the approach. And people kind of adopt this otherworldly persona. And the problem with that is, and this is a conversation we've had with this client recently, is everything with the people in your business is built 100%. The foundation, the operating system is relationships. How many relationships last if one of those people is being fake? I'm just saying, how many of those relationships last if someone's being fake? If you're not true to who you are, if I'm not really truly Mike, then you're not really having a relationship with me. And you know that. You're not a fool. It feels wrong. It feels different. And to be honest with you, even if it doesn't and I don't pick that up, then you're an asshole. And do I want a relationship with an asshole? No, I don't. So how much are you going to get out of me? Not a lot. And does that make the situation more difficult, complicated? Absolutely. So you've got to manage true to who you are. And this is the key thing. You've got John, you've got Jane. There's a lot of J's here going on the way. I'm running out of names to begin with J. But if you are one of those Josephs, there we go, it's another one. But if you are one of these people, and you're saying they all manage the same process, but in a different way, how do we make sure they all do exactly the same thing? The answer is they shouldn't. They should be managing in accordance with who they are as a person, because otherwise they're completely ripping that relationship to shit. I know that sounds bonkers because we always say about consistency, but the consistent option here is for your managers, I'll just slow down, I think what's going on with me, but for your managers to manage true to their personality of who they are as a human being. Following the policies, following the processes and the procedures and the guidance and all those other lovely bits, yes. But the delivery, the methodology and how they have that meeting has to be true to who they are as a person. You can still get to the same outcome, but have done it in your way. And that is really fundamentally important. The worst thing, so just to recap on that, worst thing is doing nothing and masking the issue and running away from conflict. The second part to that is the natural fact you feel or you think your teams have to have this other persona when dealing with these difficult people. And that is just not needed. So your style and adapting your management style has to be predicated on the person that's in front of you and you. So who you are and you manage in accordance with the way that you're going to get the best and most impact with the person that's in front of you. And no two people are ever freaking the same. So take that into some kind of consideration there. The other part that I think is really significant when you're managing difficult people, and this is a huge tip, by the way. So if you're writing down any notes, by the way, definitely on this one, definitely take a note. And that is every time you have an informal conversation, one-to-one, a separate conversation one-to-one about a particular issue that you're having with this particular person, especially if it's difficult people, but for all people, is you should take notes during that meeting and you should back up that meeting that you've had in an email, not a letter because it's informal, but in an email, you should provide a synopsis of today, Johnny, we discussed blah, 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 blah. The outcome from that was blah, 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 blah. We agreed the actions to be met were in these timescales of blah, 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 blah. If there's anything that you feel that I've got incorrect on this, Johnny, please let me know. If Johnny doesn't let you know, then we're all assuming and accepting Johnny has felt that's a true and accurate reflection of the meeting you've just had. That is your basis point of evidencing the fact that you have started to have these conversations. The amount of times that I have conversations with managers where they say, I told Johnny this. I told Johnny it then. I told him it then. I told him it then. He's saying he's never freaking heard it. He's telling me I've never told him these things. This is a bolt out of the blue all of a sudden. Did you actually document anything? Did you record anything down of what you said and when? No. Well, look, document is the next thing. Is 100% what you should be looking to do to support you as your role as a manager and managing that person moving forward. Because you're only going to be as good as the information you have to hand of what you've actually done and what you've actually said. Otherwise, you're going in there with nothing but air in your hands. And it's really hard to manage someone who's difficult in that situation. It's hard to manage anyone in those situations. But if you're managing a complicated person, you're going to get ripped to shit by somebody going through that process. And you're going to feel absolutely demoralized going through that process. So you've got to keep records of what you're doing. So I would say, for example, when we had a case where someone was sending out emails and they were sending out I can't quite remember what it was, but they were sending something out to clients and a particular message that was in there and it was wrong. And they told them to change it and adapt it to something else. I think it might have been the logo or the link was wrong. And they kept doing it wrong. And then when they came back to the manager later on about it, they went, well, you've never told me about it before. And they're like, are you insane? Where have you been? Where have you been? This is all we've been talking about. And I've been telling you about it continuously. No, you haven't. I can't remember that at all. And you're insane. This is not right. This is not right. And the other ones is when, for example, they start coming forward and you're saying you've got a particular issue with something. Like, for example, we had it with a director within an NHS organization. I won't go into details as to who it was, because I can't, but they were sending out letters to patients and they were getting and making mistakes such as, painful as it was, the wrong patient's name to the wrong address. Oh my God. Right? Massive no-no. When the manager went into performance management, they never were, I think it was more advanced than that actually, but when they went in there, they never took the letters, the examples of what had happened with them. So all these things become subjective. And then after the event, you've got to come back in and show them the evidence of what you're dealing with. Just keeping your documentation of what you're dealing with at the right times and the right points within those meetings is really, really important. You've got to keep a documentation trail of what it is that you're dealing with. It's like an audit trail, basically. So when you're having an informal conversation, back it up with an email or a synopsis. When you're going and having a meeting with somebody, you've got to provide, especially when you're talking about performance, some examples and show them some of the examples of what they're doing and examples of how that has an impact. So another one that we had was a person who'd actually not stopped. It was to do with marketing and ad spend for clients. And they hadn't turned down or turned off or set the time frames, the dates on that particular project to the right times. And it ran on. And it cost thousands of more money than the client was actually paying for. Yeah, you want to be able to evidence what you're putting forward. You want to be able to demonstrate and document what's happening. You want to back yourself up with the conversations that are taking place. And the next thing is you need to be able to measure this. So when you're dealing with difficult people, the easy thing is they tend to, nearly broke my chair there, they tend to try and flip. So what will happen is they'll be okay for a period of time, then they'll go back. Then they'll be okay, and then they'll go back. And what you're looking for is a consistent approach, a consistent sign of improved performance or behavior, whatever it is you're measuring against. You need to be able to measure that and what that's looking for. And you need to be able to set those standards of what you're looking for as well. Remembering the key thing here is you're not just setting the standards for that one person. You're saying these are the standards for everybody. I'm just asking you to meet the same standards as everyone else. If I don't ask you to meet those standards, I'm lowering those standards for everybody else. So I just want to recap there quickly. What we're talking about is confrontation. We're talking about adapting your style and approach to the person that's in front of you. There's no one size fits all. However, you've got to manage that style in your own way, true to you. Don't adapt some kind of worldly persona other than who you are and become a management zombie. Be who you are, true to you. And the next one is document, document, document. You've got to keep records. You've got to keep on top of this shit. And you've got to evidence the problem to people. Something, especially performance management, is so subjective. You've got to be able to do that. And you've got to monitor and measure, is the last one, of everything you're doing, so that you can remain consistent with those approaches. And accepting, by the way, that at some time, at some point through this process, you need some bloody teeth. It means that if you keep doing the same shit, then we're going to have to make this more formal, and eventually you could lose your job. Yeah, there has to be some teeth to this. It can't just be something that's going to continually go round and round and round. The point I'm trying to make is what we're trying to do in all businesses, and what you should be looking to do, by the way, as the number one process, is to build a team that wants to belong to where you are and what you're doing, right? I know that sounds like fluffy bullshit, Mike, whatever. No, it means a lot. If you have a group of individuals that have no interest in your business or you or your clients, really, but are just there to pick up the paycheck to pay their mortgage and their goddamn extortionate electric and gas fees, then in which case they don't give a shit about you. They're just there for one purpose and ain't you. They're not a good fit for your family, for your little working family, which is what we would call that. And they will always be difficult people, potentially as well, by the way. So in terms of things, you want to be able to build a unit. You want to be able to build a team, a collective, cohesive grouping of people that all come together for one purpose during these times to help and move the dial and grow that business. Growing that business will benefit those people by, and will help the teams by, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Difficult people will be the people that don't give a shit about that. So these people that we're talking about right now, they could, like I said, I honestly believe, hand on heart, and drop it in the comments if you think I'm wrong. Absolutely fine with that. But I absolutely believe that the majority of people, they do not go out of their way to deliberately do things like this to make the business and people's lives more difficult and worse. They don't do that. They genuinely believe what they're doing is helping and advancing the business. They believe it's the right thing. They believe what they're doing is helping everybody else. And they believe that it's the best thing for everybody else that they're doing it. They're the worst people. They're damagers. That's what that is. It's somebody with an unconscious. It's unconsciously they're a saboteur within your business. They just don't know it. They think they're doing the right thing and the best thing for everybody. So they're going to keep doing more of it. But realistically, they're making things worse. These are not the people you want in your teams. That sounds heartless. You could call me a bastard. A lot of people have called me worse. I don't care. These are not the people you want in your teams. These are always the people you will find your time battling against whenever you need to make changes, whenever you need to do anything to advance anything. These people will rise to the fore, They'll rise to the top. There we go. Be like a floating turd. It's just there and you can't get rid of it. It's frustrating. My God, did I just call people a floating turd on a live? Oh my God. But I was going to say, holy shit, that doesn't seem appropriate either. But at the end of the day, these are the people that you just can't get to go away. You've got to try and focus on how you manage the problem. And if you can't manage the problem in a way that keeps them within the business, then you need to manage those people out of your business. It's as simple as that. And I know, and I get told this a lot, you don't get a lot of people like me that would say that. Well, I'm not like a lot of people, and neither is Cavill, like a lot of HR consultancies. We're here for you and your business. You need to get the right people in your team. You need to manage your people. You need to get the people right in your business. And everyone has these difficult people. And the focus is if those people, by the way, people don't change. We're doing that next week. People don't change. But at the end of the day, if you can't alter the arrangement with these individuals where they're less impacted without turning a blind eye and fluffing them under a rug or sticking them into someone else's team, then you, if they can't pop up their socks and do the right things, you need to manage those people out of your business. They will be bringing the business down. They will be sabotaging from within, maybe not consciously, most likely subconsciously, in the thought process that they're doing the right thing, but they're not. They will be sabotaging from within. And that is a massive obstacle and problem in your business. You've got to manage that problem. It's a responsibility to take that forward. So dealing with difficult people has those connotations to it, and you have to do it. And I would always, always say the most common denominator that we find as a problem with dealing with difficult people is the very first one, which is to not deal with them. And that is a problem. But anyway, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. If you're watching this back, thank you very much. And thank you for staying on until this particular point. If you've been eating your lunch during this period of time whilst learning this, I hope this has been helpful. If there is anything else that you feel would be helpful to you, your teams, or your managers that you'd like us to do a live on, please, again, let me know. I would love to be able to do that and facilitate that and put this up for everybody. Again, if you can, or if you want to watch this back or listen to this back, we will listen to this right now. You can get this on the podcast. It's the HR Man podcast, available from wherever you get your podcasts from. Everybody, all you lovely people, have a wonderful weekend. Take care, and I'll see you soon. Back here again next week, 12 o'clock. Okay, I'll see you then. Hey there, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. It's amazing, and it never ceases to boggle my mind that people out there come on and listen to me or listen to anyone else on a podcast and take away some of this information. Hopefully, you know, whether it's something we're talking about, whether it's something we're teaching about, it's something you can take away intrinsically. Look, if you found this helpful in any way, shape, or form, if this has made any difference to you, moved the dial in any way in your life, or it's talking about things that you are genuinely interested in, regardless of what organization or business you're in, please do us a solid favor, because it really helps us out. Give us a like, please subscribe, and please share this with other people. I know from my own experience that's something I do less of, but if it really does help you, then please go and do that for someone else if you think they would also equally be interested. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode.